is Lizzie from San Diego.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay? I'm Lizzie D., an alcoholic. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you, Joe, so much for asking me to speak. I've come here before and heard some really, really amazing people. So I'm really, really happy that I have this opportunity. And I want to say welcome to the newcomers. Anybody that feels new also, like, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Congratulations, token takers. It's a big deal. So I'm just going to share about my experience, strength, and hope tonight. And also, Manny, 1 year, I don't know where you went. Oh, man, so good to see you. It's cool. And it's good to see a lot of my friends here tonight. Like, I'm just blown away right now. That was a blast from the past. So it's always beautiful to see someone get recovery. Holy shit. Like, that's amazing. It is. It's beautiful. So I'm just going to tell you about a little bit what happened or what it was like already. a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. And what it was like was I grew up in a home in a small town in western New York, south of Buffalo, with a family who loved me very dearly, but it was an alcoholic home, and that's not the reason why I'm an alcoholic, but that is my story. My father was a raging alcoholic, and my mother was an enabler. She married my dad at, I think, 20. She was leaving her home because her dad's a raging alcoholic and he was abusive. So she decided to marry my dad and have 4 children. And I was the last one. And there was a lot of stuff that happened, and it was scary. And I was in a lot of fear growing up. Like, that's kind of how I was raised. We lived in a small town, so you don't talk about things ever. You stay under the radar, and, like, you be good. Like, that's it. And that's how I lived for a really long time. And on top of that, I have this thing. It's called alcoholism. And what that means is I have a disease of the body, spirit, and mind. So from a very young age, I had a disease, and I didn't know what it was. I just knew that I felt different, and that's the disease of the spirit. So I have this spiritual malady. I constantly feel off, like not with y'all, not in this room with you is how I would feel. I would be talking to somebody, and I wasn't present, and I felt gross and ugly and just wrong a lot of the time, and anxious. So that was my spiritual malady, and I wanted to get rid of that from a very young age, and I did that without substances for a while. I would use anything, and I wanted more of it, too. I have disease of the mind, so I obsess on things, and it tells me that I don't have a disease. Weird. So I would always be trying to get out of my head. And I would do that through, like, watching TV, playing video games, eating. Like, I was really into eating. I had a little whiteout stash for a while. That was fun. And I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know anybody else that did that. And I didn't tell anybody ever. Like, that was a secret that I kept. And I kept it stashed up under my bed, and I knew, like, it was a problem because that's weird. Like, that's not average. Like, typical children don't have whiteout and a little lock under their bed. And I was worried about it when we went on vacation. I was concerned, like, what am I going to do with my whiteout? I got to bring it. We're in the car for 14 hours. Like, it was a deep concern to me. And that was the kind of stuff I did. And then I found substances, and I found men, and a lot of my pain kind of went away. It didn't go away, but, like, I had something to numb it. I had a solution that was pretty accessible to me, and I could use it in order to feel better about myself. And what happened was, for me, like, drinking wasn't fun. It was fun for, like, one summer, and, like, pretty much immediately after that, I just, because it was weird for me. I would drink, but, like, I still wouldn't feel comfortable. One summer I had a fun, and then after that, like, it just wasn't working as good. I would still feel out of my skin. I wasn't fun. I didn't make good conversations. We would go, I was just talking with my boyfriend this afternoon, like, we would go all over town, like, out to downtown, to Sea Level, to Little Italy. We would be at these amazing places for happy hours, spending money I don't have, and I would just not be there. So what happened was I got really sad, And I had, you know, some mental illness too, some depression, anxiety, and luckily I came to AA. I came to AA first when I was 21 after I totaled my car. I drove it on top of two other cars. And I woke up in Las Colinas. That was fun. And my sister gave me this car, right? And of course she would. Like, everyone should give me things. That's kind of how I, think when I'm in my disease. I think everything should be handed to me. Very entitled. And I'm selfish and self-centered and dishonest. So my sister gave me this car. I drove it on top of two other cars. She sent a bail bondsman lady to come get me. She wanted to go to Walmart and, like, get donuts. And I was just like, I can't handle this right now. And I went to AA for a little while, and I met this girl there, and she was young and hip and cool, and she, like, brought me to other meetings. This was all in OB, and I thought she was awesome, but I didn't want to get sober. Like, why would I get sober? Like, it's painful. Thank you. 10 minutes left? Oh, long time, guys. Thank you. 5 minutes. So, yeah, so she was a really good picture of, like, what AA should be. She came over to me. She said, you know, hey, like, this is what we do here. Like, come hang out. Come sit next to me. You're going to feel better. Like, and she would hang out with me even when I was drinking. She was rad. But I didn't get sober. I came back when I was 22, so, like, a year and a half later. And I just got to this place in my life where I looked in the mirror and I just hated myself. I hit a spiritual bottom. And I know other folks have to, like, lose everything. Everybody has their own story. But my story is that, like, I just really hated myself. And I hated telling, like, my mom, like, I promise you, like, I'm not going to puke in my sleep tonight. Like, she would call me and say that. And, like, the emotional appeals didn't really matter. But I just couldn't live like that anymore. And so I went to AA, and I got sober in OB at the clubhouse. And some people really saved my life. That's what AA was for me in the beginning. It was a bunch of people coming around and saying, like, we know you hate yourself. It's okay. We did before, too, and we'll love you until you can love yourself. And that was really powerful for me. So I hung out. I got right in the middle of her. They have a noon meeting there and a 5:30 meeting there, and then, like, a 7 o'clock one a lot of times, or 8 o'clock one, and I would just go to all of them. And I hung out with a whole crew, and those people saved my life. And I got a sponsor, and it wasn't the right fit, and I didn't want to take the steps. That's something else that's really important in my sobriety. I didn't understand the steps at first. Because I thought, like, you guys, like, I'm effed up. I hate myself. I don't have anything that I want. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have a car. Like, my job sucks. I don't have enough money. And this is dumb, is how I thought. I just thought that, and in my head, I was like, it's just not logical. It's not proven by science. I was like, oh, I go to school. Like, I'm in the university. I know about what's smart, and this isn't smart. And what I found was that I got really, really miserable in sobriety, and that sucks. Like, it sucks to not have a drink and not a solution. And I've done a lot of really, I've learned a lot of lessons in sobriety. I've made a lot of mistakes, but, you know, the reason I end up taking the steps, actually, is because of the fellowship. I hung out with this crew, and they were all taking the steps, and they were, like, having spiritual experiences, and they had higher powers, and I was kind of envious of that. And so that motivator, I took the steps one time. And what I found was I took the steps one time, and I didn't have a spiritual experience. So what I would like to say is, if there's anybody here that, like, the program hasn't worked for them yet, like, just hang out until the miracle happens. So I end up taking the steps again with someone very, very dear to me, my current sponsor, and my life, like, literally changed, thank you, overnight. Today, I'm blown away by the life I have. The thing is, like, I couldn't have dreamed a life as good as I have today. And that's just it. Like, when I thought of everything that I wanted in the world, like, it wasn't as good as how I have it now. I have people that really love me. Like, I'm a good worker. I'm a good sister. I'm a good aunt. I'm a good girlfriend sometimes. Sorry. And, you know, all of that stuff is really beautiful. And I can, like, look at myself in the mirror. And what's really, really beautiful today, too, is, like, I get to go to meetings and talk to newcomers and help them out. And, like, I'm taking somebody through the steps. And, like, I had a spiritual experience. So what that means is, like, a lot of the time, I feel at one with the universe, and I've never had that in my entire life. Like, I always felt off. I always felt different. And, like, today, I'm just hanging out driving in the car and listening to a certain song, and it's just beautiful. And I know if you're new, like, that sounds like, what is she saying? Like, obviously, this is a cult. Like, we aren't doing this here. But I'm serious. This is a spiritual solution. And what that means is just one alcoholic helping another alcoholic, or just one spirit helping another spirit. It's not anything, like, confusing. It's just one foot in front of the other. So I think that's all I have to say. I'm just really super grateful to be here. Thanks.
And that was, Lizzie, your journey to this point.